Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Common Sense with me, Mike Omni. This is the podcast, as you know, where I bring you up to date with everything that's happening around the world. And we've been listening to your feedback, folks. Some of you have told me that I don't have a personality, so I'm trying to show my personality more. sounds really depressed, but there you go. And of course, I scared a lot of people last week because I told them all about coronavirus and how like they would all die. But I didn't really mean it like that. Essentially, what I was trying to say was that you might actually live. Well, you probably will live because I forgot the stats now. Oh gosh, I can't find them. Oh. Basically, you'll be okay if you're fit and you're young and you self-isolate. In fact, I was watching BBC Question Time the other day, and they were talking about coronavirus. You had a health secretary, Matt, I forget his name, but he was talking us through all the precautions you've got to take. You've got to wash your hands. You've got to, not touch people in the mouth and touch yourself in the mouth and stuff like that. I feel like these are normal, basic hygiene kind of routines. This is not special. If you're only learning now to wash your hands, then maybe it's best you do get corona, because that's just ridiculous. You should be washing your hands anyways. Anywho, there you go. Latest update with corona is that £130 billion have been wiped off the FTSE 100 in minutes. This is ridiculous. It is causing havoc in the markets. One question I actually have for folks, and you can join in online at hashtag LTCS on Twitter, is would you travel still? Because I remember listening to a woman on LBC talking about, she's like, I'm off to Italy. Nothing's going to stop my holiday. And I was like, oh, gosh. She's probably going to be the one who gets it and then like randomly doesn't wake up like in a hotel or something. So let me know. Would you still travel even though this bug, if you like, is causing havoc in Italy? Would you still travel? Now, one top story for you this week is of Meghan Markle. You may have seen a video circulating pretty much everywhere of her in a school. She was in a school in a... Today, like, the research team have let me down today because I don't have all the details to hand. But she was in a school where she had to talk about Women's Day, International Women's Day. And she invited one of the young boys to speak. He was 16 years old. He said, oh, she's beautiful, innit? And everyone's like clapping and everyone loves her. And people are like, oh my gosh, look at her. She's so perfect. She's so beautiful. Oh, the royal family made a big mistake. I'm not sure. Okay, let me just put it out there. Now, she is... She is very, very beautiful. And of course, I think, she's good in front of the cameras. I mean, she was an actress for a long time. But the idea that the royal family made a mistake, I'm not quite sure about that. But there you go. That's Meghan Markle for you. Now, as I always promised you folks, every single week, you'll get a chance to meet somebody interesting. And this week, we've got someone very interesting for you to meet. Tarryl Booth was featured in our North 30 list. Now, this is the list we put out last year, and guess what? There's another one coming out this year where we try and profile the top 30 people in the North who are killing the game. Yeah? These are folks who are across different industries, who are trailblazers, they're inspiring a lot of people, they're dominating their field in some instances. And so he was on there. So he's famous. And he's with me today. So today we're going to find out a bit about him, what he does, and talk a bit about social media as well. I was reading a report just 2 weeks ago that spoke about social media's impact on just our life. You know, there was a time where if you were a politician, you know, you had to go around and speak to people on the streets and try and get them to be interested in what you're doing. These days, you just need a really good social media campaign. Like, you need to have a lot of money, pump it into ads, and you'll be okay. In fact, just this week, Donald Trump's ad was taken off Facebook because it was fake news. And we saw Elizabeth Warren, who is now obviously dropped out of the presidential race, doing the flip the switch challenge. It's like a, I don't know what it is. It's a challenge where you have to flip the switch. I don't know. But so you see now how social media is such a massive part of our kind of life. So we're going to uncover that a bit as well. But before we get into all of that, first and foremost, let's meet Tarryl. So tell us a bit about yourself, Tarryl. I'm scared because I always get your name wrong. So I don't want to get it wrong this time. Now tell us a bit about yourself.
My name's Tarryl. Tyrell Booth. I'm 22 years old. I'm from Manchester. I graduated about 2 years ago now. I've got a degree in design for art direction. I studied down in London, University of the Arts. And I've moved back up to Manchester now, and I've started doing modeling and influencing.
Yeah. You're a model. Like, there's friends that like to take pictures and then put hashtag model. They're not really models. You're an actual kind of model. How did you get into that then? Because we had a model on before, and I asked him, like, he said he was like in a shop, then some random man came to him, tapped him, and was like, you know, in a French accent, "You've got good bone structure," whatever. And he's like, "Oh, really? No way!" And then he became. What was it with you? Were you just taking pictures? And I mean, what happened? Did you get a tap on the shoulder as well?
I was always, like, from a young age, told that I should pursue this sort of, like, career in acting or modelling. So then I was interested in that. And then one of my friends was signed to an agency in high school. And she recommended me to her agent. And then I got signed to an agency based in Manchester called Nemesis. I was with them for about 3 years. And then I moved down to London, stopped doing modelling. And then in my last year of uni, third year, I won a competition with an agency called Models One, which is quite a big agency down there.
Yeah.
They represent like actors like Robert Pattinson and stuff like that.
That's the guy from Twilight.
Yeah. So then I was a runner-up in the competition. I was the face of a store for like a year. Wow. And then from there, I got featured in like Pause, which is an online magazine.
Yeah.
I got featured in a magazine there and then built up a bit of an Instagram following from there. And then
just a bit, just shy of 30,000 now. That's a bit more than a bit, mate.
Yeah, it's grown a lot, but that's just due to me like being consistent, working, and being in touch with the right people.
Yeah, it's actually like really hard to grow online pages, isn't it? Because you have to be so consistent, and I think this is one thing people don't understand. Like, I think because of like Love Island, and I think we discussed this before, like, you know, you go on Love Island, you come off and you basically have like a million followers, and then you kind of just basically do ads and that's it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you don't go on Love Island, you got to do it the old fashioned way, I guess,
yeah,
which
you
is just
build up yourself and
just post and post and stuff like that. But that's super cool. I'm really interested in a bit more about your journey, because one thing we try and combat, you know, or at least try and do on this podcast, it's kind of, I guess, cover things that people may not necessarily see or know. So you said from a young age, people have always told you to go, like, I'm curious. So is this just people just said you were good looking from a young age? What was it? I mean, uncles were coming over to you and saying, "Hey, you should be a model."
So I'm half Chinese and half Jamaican.
No way.
So that was like always like a thing where people would be like, "Oh my God, you've got such a unique look." And then family members just used to say, "I mean, you should try modeling." And then it was never a thought. Like in school, to be fair, in school, I was always called Top Man because people used to say
Top
to
man.
Me, and I look like the models in the Top Man campaigns.
Okay.
So then everyone used to just call me Top Man from then it kind of just I was like, you know, I'm gonna give this a go. And once my friend recommended me to Nemesis, it just kind of felt right and enjoyable. And my mum always used to say to me, it's like, you never know, this is like an industry where it's hard to be in. You don't know if you're gonna have longevity and stuff like that. So
I think
once I got a taste of it and the things that you can do and like the money that you can make and like the reach that you can get and to people, I just knew it was like something that I wanted to focus on. And even though I stopped focusing on it for a bit, it still come back to me again. So I just kind of knew it was kind of the industry that I wanted to go down.
It's so interesting because I know there's people listening to this now who've been told they have a unique look before, but it's not in a good way. Like I've been told that I look unique, but you know, that's not always a good thing. So tell us then, so what are some of the things people may not know about, I guess, let's just call it the influencer world, if you like, that they might be shocked to kind of find out? Because I guess when you look online and, you know, it just seems like people kind of have it all together. They get lots of endorsements, just lots of money comes their way. And I think that's why a lot of young people, this is like their dream. I know there's definitely young girls watching is it called Love is Blind or something? Yeah, all these shows just going, if I can just get on that show, then I will, I don't know,
build
get
the following.
Yeah. So what is it like, I guess? Or how do you kind of deal with it? Because the one thing kind of hit me the other day, I don't want to talk about social media forever, but just whilst we're on it, you know, let's say you put out a picture that 5,000 people see. I mean, do you ever take that in, like 5,000 people? Because these days, if you take a picture and you put it out and like 90 people like it, I think people are like, oh, 90, that sucks. But that's, supposing they're not Russian bots or something, that's like 90 people. Yeah. Imagine like 5,000 people following you. that's kind of crazy. So how do you deal with that when you think about how many people interact with your stuff?
Well, first of all, that's what the brands are looking for. They're looking for their interaction. So that's why they get in touch with you to do promotion. And if they can see you can market their products well, that's what you want. Like, they'll ask for your insights and they'll ask for your reach and stuff. So I guess having a high reach is always going to be a good point.
Yeah.
And then, like, to be fair, the content that I put out, it's stuff that I verify and, like, I approve of myself. Yeah. I wouldn't put anything out there that I don't like of myself or I don't, like, approve of. Or I wouldn't accept a job that doesn't represent me. So I always make sure it's, like, true to myself.
I feel, but how does it feel, though, like, in terms of, like, emotionally is what I'm really curious about as well. Like, how do you, like, is it hard to think about lots of people kind of interacting with your staff? Do you not really think about it? Do you get weird messages?
I get a lot of weird messages, but I try not to, like, I just try not to let things get to, not like bad messages or anything. Yeah. It's more like just messages that you'd kind of like, random people like trying to be your friend and stuff like that.
Hi. No, what's the weirdest message you've ever got? Let's go through the top three hits. What there must be one that you remember, like, what the heck kind of thing.
Sometimes it's just like, I don't even think it's good to talk about it.
Just because people may be on their way to work, maybe nothing like illegal or whatever. Yeah. But what's the kind of weirdest kind of, like, that's just odd?
Just someone's messaged me before saying, I'll give you all my savings. And I was like, what? You'll give me all your savings? And
tell me you said yes.
I didn't
reply to it. No, come on!
I just didn't reply to it because I just think, wow, people are...
They just wanted to give you their savings?
Yeah, like messages like that, or like, I'll fly you out to wherever I am and stuff like that.
Okay, that's a result, no? You don't think so?
It is, but it's not the kind of attention you want from
So how do you deal with that then? Because I've never, no one's ever offered to give me their savings. If they have, I will take it and I would disappear. So I've never had it. So I've never really had to deal with it. But how do you deal with it?
I honestly don't reply to it.
Really?
I just don't reply to it because I just think this is not going to go anywhere. Like, I only reply to like friends or like genuine people that I know I'm going to be able to connect with and probably make a difference with, like, with you. I didn't really know you before this, but I knew we had intentions to do so because you're doing well with your news network.
Oh, come
on.
No, I'm not. I'm joking. Yeah, we're doing okay.
But yeah, I try and keep it like authentic. People like that, it's just mainly like they just want a conversation out of you just to say that they've had a conversation with you. Mm.
That's another thing that must be quite interesting. I imagine people must, well, I don't know, but this is just an imagination. I guess in that world, people must, it's probably really important who you associate with.
Yeah.
So people want to be seen with certain people, or you want to take a picture of this person because then that gets you their audience and all that kind of stuff.
People kind of like, so say maybe someone messaged me and then I feel like from that they'd instantly think we're friends when we're not really, because we haven't met each other.
This is it.
So they'll think we're friends and then maybe things will get like mixed up and I don't like sending out the wrong message as well. So
it's so funny because I was talking to, I made a tweet that I think got viral, but it, you know, like 400 retweets or something at the time, and it caused a lot of discussion because what I tweeted was, I said, I'm a boy, I'm a lad's lad, I'm a let's go to the gym, whatever, right? And I said, all my best friends I've like fought with. Anyone who's my friend, we've argued at some stage. Either I've kind of like we've argued verbally or like we've had a fight, because for me to be friends, like we have to like kind of go through stuff together. Like we I've got to see you, but also we've got to fight. I've got to know that I can argue with you and move on after. And then you've got all these people, all these random people online, right? I've got like what, 15k people online, and some of them again DM, and because some of them, like, you know, you start noticing like there's like maybe like 12 people who always share your stuff, always whatever, and then they start messaging you like, oh yeah man, we should chill. I'm like, we're not friends. We're not actually friends. Like, I don't know you. Like, you know, a drink, okay, but.
And I feel like sometimes giving your energy to too many people at once is like a bit.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Imagine replying to everyone who DM'd you. You couldn't.
Yeah.
Because it's actually too much. But yeah, I've always found that interesting, and I think obviously because social media isn't going anywhere, like we have to actually talk more about this because it's here to stay.
Yeah.
And pretty much how you manage that is gonna be, because I imagine once you get to, I don't know, 50,000, 100,000 people, will you then just get a social media manager then and not do it yourself?
So I've got an agent at the moment. I'm represented by Standard Service Studios. Okay. They're based in Paris and London. And Terran Sambo, my agent, who he used to work for Pause Online.
See, his name rings a bell because I you know, back in the days, I wanted to start a fashion house at some stage. And I remember then I was researching a lot of these kind of influencers, models, people that kind of organize runways and stuff like that. And his name was one of the people I kind of knew about. So he now manages you.
Yeah, he's such a good guy to be involved with because he's doing so many different things and he believes in like young people and youth. Yeah. And
is he young as well?
He's about 30, like 31, 32.
Okay, cool.
But he believes in the youth and he wants to make the, so in his agency it's all boys at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's like a family. Like he wants us to do the best that we can do and he pushes us forward. He brings us to all these events. He brought us to Paris.
Yeah. So you went to Paris this year?
In January.
What was that like?
It was pretty surreal.
Paris was it? Oh, Paris, yeah.
Yeah, it was surreal seeing like people that like Skepta, like being at a party with people like that.
Yeah.
It's just seems surreal.
You're like, what? You're like, I can't do this.
It's like things you think about doing that, like, I was actually doing it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a dream come true. And then he's just, at the moment, he's managing all my, social media stuff as well. So any job that I get, like, I manage JD stuff by myself, but anything else, runs through him.
Yeah. And what was Paris week like? So did you, what kind of stuff did you get up to? So when you weren't partying with Skepta.
Yeah.
what else were you like doing?
Kano.
Who's that?
He's in Top Boy.
Oh, right.
He's an actor in Top Boy, but he's also a rapper as well and spoken word.
I think I know him. Who
else? And Maya Jama, Loyal Kano.
Yeah. So what, was this at the party?
Yeah.
So I mean outside of the party. Were you walking? Did you scout?
I'd done a shoot down there and I actually kind of like work for Santa Service as well, so like help out with a young talent because there was a few lads over there that are like 18 stuff that are like still kind of getting used to all this sort of scene. So I was taking them down to castings. They had castings for brands like Balmain. And so it's quite like high-end sort of scene. And then we attended different shows. And it was more just to like meet clients and just make people like aware that you're here. And like from this, I've become in contact with so many different people.
Yeah, and anything can happen.
Yeah,
it's so interesting, man. Like it's super cool. It's obviously indicative of the age we live in. And I guess my question for you, so before we kind of go into like what you're gonna do like moving forward and stuff, is like, well, this is in no way a traditional path. Like there is no way. A child in school is like, I would like to be a, like, you just couldn't imagine what you're doing now. Like, you couldn't really think about it. So, like, is there a part of you that worries? Because obviously, some of the news outlets and some of the things I look at online speak about how the social media bubble's going to burst at some stage. And, you know, funny enough, there was a time where the Commenters Network's Twitter page got taken down. And it was so confusing. Like I woke up and the Twitter page was down and my Twitter page was down. Now a friend of ours, the networks, was the vice president of Twitter at the time. So I had messaged him, and I was like, Bruce, his name isn't. And I was like, can you, like, what's going on here? And he was like, oh, I've left Twitter now, so I can't help you out.
Yeah.
So we were like, and he was a bit kind of like, I actually can't help out, like, I'm busy type of thing. So I was thinking, so what do I do? Because I don't know anyone at Twitter. But I know, like, other people at Twitter, but they're, like, low-level, quote-unquote, if you like, or just, like, nominal staff.
Yeah.
So for 5 days, we didn't have a Twitter account. And that felt like one of the craziest 5 days ever. It felt like we didn't exist. We were, like, people were, like, messaging me, where's your Twitter account? Where's the news? Yeah. And I'm like, what do I do? So I thought, imagine just having your Twitter account taken away.
Yeah.
Like, imagine having your Instagram just taken away.
Yeah.
Like, what would happen? So do you ever worry that, like, what would happen if everything just stopped, or, like, you know, Instagram just said, you know what, we're done?
Yeah.
I've always wanted to ask people who, like, are doing well on social media this question, because I'm like, well, do you have a plan B? Like, do you have, like, a separate account somewhere? Do you have, like, what happens if your social media accounts, your Twitter, your Instagram just gets taken down?
I do worry about stuff like that, to be fair, but I don't have a separate account or anything, to be fair. And I should do that, but I always just, like, make sure I do security, so if anyone tries to do that sort of thing, it's like, they know it's me. But, I do get anxiety about that stuff when I do think about it, because it is kind of like a career now, like, that's how I'm getting my money.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm getting known. It's like, basically, it would be like a platform taken away from me.
Pretty much.
But that's why I've went to university, that's why I've got a degree, and...
There you go.
What I'm doing on social media now, I'm basically doing art directing my
page. Pretty much what you studied, basically.
Creating campaigns for brands. I'm doing the whole art direction for that. So, in a way, it is something that is just giving me an even further push. But I'm kind of already doing that anyway. So,
yeah.
If all ended with that, I think my next stage would be to go and intern for a brand and do, like, start art directing there.
I think you'll be fine. I think you're not the typical type of just good looking girl who, like, has lots of followers, that kind of thing. You're not that kind of whatever. You've got other things in the bag, which is quite interesting to me. So these other things. So I know you act, or, like, you're
well, it's something that I want to pursue. I'm in the middle of doing acting lessons right now. So
how is that going? A friend of mine, I won't name him, he works in, like, the city in Canary Wharf, randomly messaged me. Well, we met up, actually, and he said, what did he say? He said, like, he wants to pursue acting, so he's going to acting schools and stuff like that. After work, he's going to Acting School, I think it's called, whatever it's called. So you're doing that as well?
Yeah.
What is it like?
It's obviously different from... I done performing arts in college.
Okay.
And it's different from that, because it's just you one-on-one with a coach.
Yeah.
And it's more hands-on, and, like, I kind of know, like, the background around, like, the whole performing arts history and everything, but now it's more, like, working on yourself as a person, like, so even down to, like, how you speak. So for auditions, you need to know, like, a variety of
accents. Can you do accents?
Not really, so that's why you get, like...
You're lucky you said that. I was about to test you.
So that's why you get, like, a voice coach and stuff like that, but... So far, I've only done one session, so...
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, okay, yeah. I can't do too much testing. Yeah. I'm trying to imagine you being in... So what kind of stuff would you want to be in?
Like screenplay, like sort
not
of things
EastEnders,
like...
Not EastEnders or anything like
that. Not EastEnders, like documentary kind of based film, short films, films, series, but nothing like a soap.
This is so cool. This is cool. I love stuff like this.
Never say never, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, if EastEnders comes along, or like Coronation Street, might be the guy. What I love about this is I want this to age really well. I would love it if, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is from now, you're in some blockbuster film and people, like, wheel up this random podcast and say, remember when he was doing his first acting lesson? That's so cool. Well, I wish you well with that. I mean, that's so cool. I think it's a good... It's a good transition, but also one thing I do love and I wish more people would do is, like, one, be creative, but also that creativity isn't like flipping painting. I think everyone thinks, like, it's like painting and drawing. So, like, I'm not creative. I'm like, I can't draw, but, you know, if I get an impulse, I will follow it. Well, there was a time where I wanted to be an actor as well, but now I'm not doing that. But I know for a fact, even everything I'm doing now, probably in 3 years I won't be doing, which sounds crazy to some people.
Yeah.
But I say it because I know myself. I will literally develop a random passion. And I'll probably just follow it. And I'm like, you might see me doing ballet somewhere. You're like, what the heck? And I'm like, listen, I go wherever my heart takes me. So that's amazing. So yeah, so what can we look forward to next then from you? What have you got coming up? And I guess how can people connect with you and stay involved in your world?
Well, I post a lot on social media. That's where I keep everything up to date on there. Post weekly. I've got a JD campaign coming out maybe this week or next week, which is going to be in stores. And then I'm going to start collaborating with this protein company. It's called Innermost.
That's a rival one. We've got a protein company as well.
Yeah, so Innermost. Do you know Innermost?
No. I know Kind Bars. Who want to make the world a kinder place?
Yeah. So I'm collaborating with Innermost.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like an affiliate thing. So it's like pushing health and well-being and stuff. So I'm quite into my fitness. So that's something that's going to be
interesting
to me. But this is like they've been featured in Forbes. They've been featured in like Time and like Vogue magazine and stuff like that. So it's a brand that I want to, that is definitely a fit for me.
Yeah.
And I love supporting like health and well-being as well.
Yeah.
So, and it's all like organic, healthy product. No, mainly just training in the gym. Been doing that for like years now, so
love that.
Yeah,
I remember last time as well, though, before we go, I mean, I remember you saying you wanted to do like a fitness class or something.
Yeah, so at the same time, I'm still in works of doing like a YouTube kind of series thing or IGTV. But this protein brand that I've just been recently involved in, they said they're willing to fund any projects or any upcoming things that I want to do. So if it's something that I'm going to pitch to them, so
that's so good. Yeah. So excited
because we want to do it properly, because we know I know a few people that are. I've got a friend called Jordan Thomas who's going to be doing karate in the Olympics. Yeah.
Jordan Thomas, is he black?
Yeah,
I think I might meet him at a barbershop.
So
and
then
yeah, oh god,
yeah,
is he like older?
Yeah, he's like 27.
I think I might know him. Oh, karate, not taekwondo.
Is it taekwondo?
It might be, because there's a guy I met at the barbershop, and we exchanged details and stuff.
Taekwondo, Jordan.
It might be. Yeah. And he's been already, but he's going to go again.
Yeah, I don't know if he's been
to world champs.
Yeah, yeah, he's like world something.
Yeah, it might be
and
him.
And he's sponsored by Adidas and stuff like that.
I think it's him. Does he train at, like, Moston?
Yeah, he trains close by to, well, he goes to my gym as well, PO gym.
Okay.
But like we're going to get people like him to feature on this series where we
That's super cool. Yeah. Wow. Super cool. Well, that's good. We're going to keep up to date with you. I mean, I should have mentioned you weren't just featured in our North 30 list. You were actually the front page.
Yeah.
And I think I forgot to tell people that. You were the front page. And the reason is because I think Tarryl kind of exemplifies just the whole point of that list, which is folks from the north who aren't, you know, I've got to move to London, I can't do anything up north. They're not saying that. Like he is literally up north and just making it happen with what he has, and is super community focused. And I said it when we had the event, but you know, I think you're doing amazing, man. And I just really just wish you keep soaring, and as you do that, other people can soar as well on your wings. I don't know what that I'm saying, but you get the gist.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, folks. Thanks for joining us this week. Of course, if you like this podcast, do share it on Instagrammy thingy or like whatever it is you share it on. It's a pleasure to have you join us. And like I said, you can join the conversation online with the hashtag LTCS. Now, I forgot to do something, which I'll get killed for. This podcast is brought to you by the Common Sense Network, which is a network that creates online and offline spaces for people who disagree to come together and share and learn from each other. So, you know, I'm still waiting. You know, I'm gonna declare a competition open. And the competition is for who can give me like a good sign out, because I'm really bad at saying bye. I'm like, take it. But if you can find like a nice, cool way to end the podcast, send it to me at hello@tcsnetwork.co.uk. Now, that's it, folks. Have a great week. Bye-bye.